The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Frank James Bailey, voice actor and writer. As a voice actor, you might have heard my voice on Channel Frederator videos. As a writer, I've written 3 books about a female superhero named Turkana. And today I want you to join me on the PVD cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host, Mr. John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 168, or as I like to call it, the episode that was supposed to be last week. But no, I'm joking. You know, sometimes in this crazy world of podcasting, things happen and you just have to roll with the punches. And that was it. That was the case last week. I had this episode planned out, but unfortunately, my guest was not feeling very well, decided to postpone his appearance on the PVD cast. And I don't know why I'm playing the pronoun game. I'm going to tell you exactly who it is. Will, a good friend of the PVD cast, who has been on previously, but I looked and it's been a while since Will has joined us, but he's coming on because he was out 3 weeks ago in Chicago at All In. So was I. I got to hang out with him a little bit, and we never got an opportunity to really talk about the event and all of the cool things that we did, because I did some things like I went to StarCast, in which Will did not, but yet he went to a couple of other shows that I did not. So we never got a chance to sit down and really talk about it. So I invited him on the PVD cast, and I'm glad he's joining us. And, you know, I'd just like to say real quickly that I want to say thank you, and I appreciate that Ken Epstein last week said it was A-okay. It was cool of me to go ahead and drop his episode, which was in the can, but I was holding off maybe a little bit closer to CXC before releasing that episode. So thank you, Ken, for giving me the okay to drop that episode, which it's gotten plenty of great reviews. So if you haven't checked out my episode from last week with Ken Epstein talking about his new projects that are coming out in conjunction with CXC, then you definitely want to check that one out. And check out what Ken is doing over at NixComics.com. Want to talk real quickly, though, about next week's episode. That's right. I don't do this very often. I really don't hype the upcoming episode, but I gotta let you know that this past weekend, you probably saw it on social media, on my Twitter, or on the Facebook page of the PVD cast, or even Staunch Ambitions Facebook page. I was up in Monroe, Michigan at the Monroe Comic Con, and I had a great time. Always fun hanging out with Brian at the table, and he sold quite a few books, but met a lot of new people. But the highlight for me was I got an opportunity to sit down with two legends of the comic book industry. I'm not gonna mention names just yet. I'm going to leave you in suspense so that you check it out next week when it drops. That's right. I don't know why I'm speaking in such a broken way. Just seemed like that was a good way to emphasize the fact that you need to check it out next week. But two epic, legendary figures I had the opportunity to talk to. You don't want to miss that. And I also want to let you know that Ohio Championship Wrestling is back in action. That's right. My good friends up in OCW, they have a big show slated this Saturday, September 22nd at the OCW Arena, right there in Akron on Main Street. 7 o'clock is when things kick off, and if you need any information about the show, if you want to go, you want to get tickets, you want to see the rundown of matches, all you have to do is go to ocwrestling.net or find them on Facebook. Just search for Ohio Championship Wrestling. And, you know, it's a warm one again today in Central Ohio. I don't know. What's going on with the weather, man? It seems like it's nice and comfortable one day, and maybe for the next day it's nice and comfortable, and then, man, it's back into the upper 80s, low 90s. So I'm going to be honest, if you hear some background noise, the air conditioning's on, but, you know, I don't know what to tell you, folks. I'm going to be comfortable when I podcast. That's just the bottom line. So and let me tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. As you know, Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, iPad, tablet, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVD cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. Come on, people. You want to check it out. You want to see what they got. They got tons of books. So simply just go on over to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. You can check out their catalog. You can get a free audiobook and you can sign up for a free 30-day trial. You like free. I like free. It's a win-win, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. That's audibletrial.com/PVDcast. And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, Will and I are going to discuss our experiences at All In. All right, here we go. It's the episode that was supposed to be last week, as I joke about. But yeah. Will, how are you feeling, man?
Good. Feeling good. Finally, okay. Finally 100%.
So all right. Do you want to divulge a little bit what's been going on with you?
I mean, I'll probably get to it as we talk, but...
Because it almost caused you to miss All In.
Yeah, it was pretty close. So I had my appendix removed 2 weeks and 2 days prior to the show. So it was... I did actually have to miss a couple shows the weekend before that. I was supposed to go to Blackcraft, and there's another show I was supposed to go to on Saturday. I can't even remember anymore. AIW, I think, maybe. But either way, I had to miss both those shows, and then, All In was in serious jeopardy because I was still in a lot of pain the following week, so kind of up in the air, but... We had so much money invested that we kind of, you know, had to push through. So
right. You know. So what are the symptoms of appendix? Can I ask?
So you'll feel like stomach pain, but it'll be like kind of like a knot in your stomach, and then it rotates to the bottom right hand corner of your stomach. So then you kind of feel like something's wrong. When you go to urinate, you'll definitely know that there's a problem. It'll feel like someone's pulling a string out of you.
Oh, man.
And that's when you know it's time to go to the emergency room. Jeez. So we went to the emergency
room. Can I just tell you, that's a horrifying thought.
Yeah. And it's like, not only is the string, it feels like it's coming from your stomach. So it's kind of like the full effect of being pulled all the way through.
Horrifying, yeah, dude.
That's what I knew, because I was in discomfort like pretty much all afternoon. It came on real sudden, and driving home from work, I was like, man, something's not really feeling right. And I was supposed to go get a haircut, and I was like, well, let me go home real quick and, you know, see what's going on here. And then I went home, and I instantly went to the bathroom, and I just kind of doubled over, and I was like, all right, there's okay. Something not right here. So went to the emergency room like 5:30. In the afternoon, and I was on the operating table by 11 o'clock. So,
okay.
They wanted to get it out of there before it ruptured. So they caught it early. So,
okay. Yeah. Because, yeah, if it ruptures, I've always heard that's bad news, it's man.
Bad news. They have to drain it and all this other stuff. So, yeah we didn't get that far. So,
cool.
Thankfully.
Cool. Well, as I mentioned in the intro, we have actually never talked about All In because correct. You were kind of doing your, you know, you had things mapped out. You were doing things. I was doing things with my buddy and had things mapped out. And, The one gripe that I have, if I have one gripe about All In, was, man, oh, man, I don't know what was going on in that arena, but my cell service sucked. I don't know if it was because everybody was on their phone.
That's what it seemed like.
Dude, like, I couldn't get text to go through. I couldn't, so we were totally cut off, man. Totally, because I was trying to text you and go, hey, man, sorry, we got in, we moved over here. Nothing was working.
Yeah, we had the same exact problem. In fact, when we walked up to the front door of the place, my tickets were on my phone mobily, but someone had emailed them to me. So I get up to the front and I'm thinking, no big deal, you know, go into my email, and it's just loading and loading and loading. And I'm like, I can't get this ticket. I can't get the email to pull up. So the lady at the ticket thing's like, all right, well, you guys are gonna have to, you know, back up or whatever, you got other people coming through. And I'm like, all right, well. So I'm just waiting and like fucking with my phone. I'm closing the email, reopening it, closing. I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I can't get in the fucking arena because my tickets are in email. So I have to walk all the way down to the end of the parking lot for my email to finally snap through pull up the barcode. I took a picture of it just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I walked back into the arena. But yeah, it was 10, 15 minutes after all our friends and everything had gone in. And we couldn't get the email to pull up. So we couldn't even get in. So that was a little bit of drama. Because before we went up there, we had been debating, do we print them? Do we not print them? Well, let's not worry about it. The website says mobile tickets are fine. We'll be fine. Like, they're right here in the email. No big deal. Just pull up the email. So that got a little hairy for me, man. I was panicking a little bit. Yeah, a little bit of panic there.
You know what, though? I mean, that's beyond the realm and the capabilities of what, you know, the wrestling show is about. That to me, has got to be something that's with that arena. You know what I mean? So, because I know, for an example, like, one of the things that, because I just know somebody that worked on that project, like, the Horseshoe. They just put in, like, all new towers and that, and like central hubs, like 4 or 5 years ago, because of the same issue. Nobody could use their phones and all that jazz. So probably just the Sears Center needs updated a little bit equipment wise. But yeah, that was kind of my gripe, man. The phone service was horrible. So
yeah, and I was trying, like, anybody trying to live tweet or, you know, get photos out, stuff like that. It's like, couldn't even post them until the next day. It's well, you know, this is old news now, but here's where I was sitting.
You know what? I'm going to talk a little bit about the trip in itself real quick. I thought it was really cool. Just the environment.
Sure.
You know, because I don't think that I've been in an environment like that since the days of ECW, to be honest with you. Like, you know, I know everybody talked about, and I saw it online a lot, wow, man, it was just such a great environment. Wrestling fans were interacting with people. And, you know, and I'm in that boat. You know, I met new people through you guys, you know, you and Christina, and you know, I actually met some old friends that were out there that I didn't even know were going to be out there, and I just ran into them. So that was cool. And like I said, that was one of the coolest parts about being at an ECW show, was you had that, like, that sense of community. So it was cool to see it again.
Yeah, that I think that was the biggest part of the weekend, and I think it even to some degree overshadowed what was an incredible show. No question about it, but just the entire vibe from the entire weekend, there was something really special there. Just the entire, from the StarCast stuff that started on Thursday all the way through to some of the stuff that carried over to Sunday. I mean, it was just an incredible vibe. Like, everyone was getting along well. There was the AAW ran shows on Thursday and Friday, so people got a little bit of that action on to kind of kick things off. And then, yeah, just even in the parking lot on Saturday, like, people tailgating and stuff, like, there was just a vibe that felt really good. And I never really feel that when I go anywhere else. I mean, I've gone to some other big shows and stuff like that. But, yeah, that vibe was just incredible.
Yeah, it certainly was. It certainly was. All right, so let's maybe talk a little bit about overall the show itself. What did you think of the show itself? You've already said it's spectacular. I mean, so it preceded or went above what you expected?
Yeah, I think just seeing most of those people before, like, knowing knowing the body of work and what they were capable of, and just the way they put the card together, I felt like we were going to be in for something. We were going to be in for a treat. It just depended on how everything worked out. And I think we got robbed a little bit of the final match just because they ran out of time.
And you know, the funniest part was, I'm looking at my watch right before that last match, and I was looking and going, man, they're on legit pay-per-view. I mean, streaming, there's no rules. You can go as long as you want or as short as you want, but I looked at my friend Justin, I go, dude, I bet they got 15 minutes to do this last match, and then they're off the air, because if it's a pay-per-view.
Sure.
The guy in front of me turned around and goes, I'm going to time this. I'm like, cool, man. Go ahead. Because he agreed with me.
Yeah.
And so at the end of that match, he looked back and goes, 9 minutes and some odd, 9 minutes and some change. And I'm like, fuck. Because that was an incredible 9 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that, well, let's go ahead and just talk about it.
Sure.
The main event was the Golden Elite taking on Rey Mysterio, Rey Fénix, and Bandido. I was surprised, to be honest, that this was the main event. But nonetheless, hats off to those guys. Look, I know I've been critical of the Bucks, and I've been critical a little bit of their work. I didn't anticipate that it was going to have the old school ring psychology that I prefer. I knew that, but man, I gotta give them credit to all six of those good dudes. They went nonstop, literally balls to the wall for 9 minutes.
Yeah,
that's what it was timed out at. You know, I mean, 9 minutes, just what they did, dude. You gotta be an athlete.
Yeah,
That's bottom line.
Yeah, and they, I mean, they were full go. All six guys were full go the whole time. I mean, they were moonsaulting, like backflipping, just doing, everywhere.
Doing
man,
shit that I don't even know what yeah, it is, you know? Exactly. But so hats off to all six of those guys. That was amazing. To pull that off. I think the official time, I have it here, the official time was 11 minutes and 48 seconds.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't know if that was, you know, I don't know. But still, that's sure. a lot yeah. to fit in.
Absolutely. Especially in that short for those, time. I mean, those six big names, you know, you got to, Rey Mysterio in there, you know, you got to give them, mm-hmm. you got to give them time to get busy and get started. But yeah, they pulled it off perfectly.
Yeah, so the main event was very well done. Here's my take on the whole entire show. I thought it was fantastic. Even some of the matches that you thought weren't going to be good sure. ended up being good.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with that. Back to your point earlier, though, I was very surprised that the six-man tag was the main event, because I think we had kind of talked in the parking lot pregame, like, what was going to be the main event. We kind of all assumed it was going to be the NWA title.
Yes.
That seemed like the main draw here. But yeah, they did things in an order that I didn't anticipate throughout the entire night, and that it came out perfectly.
I'm gonna be honest. I think to me the worst match on the show was Rhodes and Aldis. I felt like there was too many distractions with other things going on within that match that didn't need to be there.
Sure, I agree with that.
Yeah, I didn't understand why we had the entourages at the beginning. I'm like, what the hell?
And then.
I didn't, like, Paige and Daivari got involved, and I'm like, why? And then I didn't feel like Brandi needed to be involved in that match either. Yeah. I felt like there was too much, it was too cluttered. Too cluttered.
The entourages made sense at the beginning from the standpoint that they were trying to bill it as a big title fight. So think of, like, Rocky versus Apollo Creed, you know, they came out to, like, almost a big boxing pay-per-view atmosphere, and those theatrics kind of played into that. He came out with his team, Aldis came out with his team, you know, they're all wearing the American Nightmare track jackets, they're mm-hmm. you know, they look like a boxing team is kind of where mm-hmm. they came out. And there was a moment, which is probably one of my top three moments of the entire show, when Cody and Nick get in the ring and the ref holds the NWA title up, and everyone in the crowd just rises up all at one time. And it had like a Las Vegas boxing feel where everyone just stood up like as the match was getting ready to start. And they ring the bell and the two of them are in the corner. And the place was just deafening. And everyone was on their feet for the very beginning of that. So it kind of had that like big boxing pay-per-view type of feel. And I felt like it resonated with that match specifically. And so I think that's kind of the entourage vibe. But yeah, having him deliver a diamond cutter and the dog and that was all a bit much. Like, if they would have let him out there and then all eight of them or seven of them would have left and went away and we just had the match, I think that would have been a little bit better. But
and I know some people said, well, you know, they did that to, you know, maybe to help Nick Aldis because he's not the worker of Cody. Which, look, some people I've talked to have really hating on Magnus, aka Nick Aldis. I think he's serviceable. You know, he's not the best in the world, but he's not trash either. The dude's pretty decent sure. in the ring. You know, I think that is a really unfair criticism to state.
I think he played a better character leading up to the match than he did in the actual match itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think leading up to the match, he had a big, I mean, he had like a James Bond villain aura to him leading up to it. And it was like, okay, I don't know much about this guy. I've never seen him wrestle before, but all the stuff he's saying and all the interviews and carrying around the title and these fancy suits and all this stuff, like, okay, I'm kind of feeling like he's the villain, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think I fell into this area I fall into a lot when I go to live shows is I get so wrapped up in the atmosphere that I don't really recognize whether the match was really that good or really that bad, because I'm just so into the moment and so into the actual event and, you know, Cody winning the title and everyone going crazy. And it's like, I'm so wrapped up in all that. Was it a good match? I don't know. I'm so involved in everything else that I'm like, I don't know whether they really pulled it off. I honestly haven't gone back and watched it since, but...
Oh, I haven't either, but I want to. I really would like absolutely. To see the produced version of it. I really would. That was one thing I mentioned heading back to the hotel to my friend Justin. I'm like, I really want to see this as the production of it and see what we didn't see. Let's start off with the 0 hour show, because they had two matches there. SoCal Uncensored against the Briscoe Brothers, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, that
really
was
good.
An amazing tag team match.
Really good.
Not surprising. Those two teams are very well, versed with one another. They've been feuding in Ring of Honor and whatnot. So that was great. I even liked the Battle Royal, and I'm usually not a big fan of Battle Royals, but they had a little bit of something for everybody in there. I gotta admit that I feel a little foolish that I didn't see Flip Gordon being in there. Like,
yeah,
I was like, who is this guy? Because there were a couple people in there, I'm like, who is this?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, it must be an NWA guy, because it's like Brandon Cutler. I don't know who that guy is, you know? And so I'm like, well, maybe, and then I was like, oh God, you're such a mark, man. You totally didn't see that was Flip, you know?
Yeah, I didn't even think, like, it made so much sense after he won and pulled off the mask. I'm like, oh yeah, that's how he gets to All In, by winning this, that. Perfect. Where was I? You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Where were you on this?
Exactly.
Yeah, you should have been able to see that a mile away. But, and I think having the winner get the Ring of Honor title shot also made more sense. You felt like it had to be a Ring of Honor guy, but there wasn't that many of them in the match. So it was like, who are they going to give it to? Brian Cage is like one of the hottest dudes in wrestling right now. I thought maybe him, but... Is Ring of Honor going to let him wrestle for their title on this show? He's an Impact guy. And he's doing other stuff, you know, other places. So I just didn't know who fit. Like, the more and more it developed and more people kept getting tossed out, I'm like, none of these guys really fit. This is like...
And it would have been easy to go with the hometown boy of Colt Cabana.
Sure.
And so I'm kind of glad that they didn't.
Right.
Because I think that was probably what 90% of the audience expected.
Yeah, for sure.
Overall, that was excellent and a great way to get Flip into the storyline. And like I said, overall, fun Battle Royal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that the opener to the actual All In was really solid. Matt Cross taking on MJF, who I'm becoming more and more of a fan every time I see Maxwell Jacob Friedman. He just does such a damn good job with that character. Yeah. So, and his work in the ring, this is the first time I got to see him in the ring.
Okay.
So, his work in the ring was pretty flawless. I don't know why I couldn't say that. Pretty flawless. And, Matt Cross, man, he's a pro. That's all you can say. So, I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, we're pretty familiar with MJF from his time down at Dayton at Rockstar Pro Wrestling. He was down there for a while. He did live here for a while. I believe he lived in Dayton for a while. Saw him a couple times at AAW. In fact, he was at AAW on Friday. He does a lot of stuff with them, really good stuff. They do a lot of promo work out there, so see a lot of his promos. He also has a YouTube series with Alley Cat, where they're kind of like a mismatch relationship kind of thing. It's really cool. I saw the first couple episodes. I think first two episodes. It's hilarious. He does some really good stuff, and his work in the ring is really good, but his work on the mic is just, it's unparalleled. And Matt Cross we'd seen at Wrestle Circus before.
I guess my only question that I do wonder is, I really felt like they were going to put, with all due respect to Matt Cross, who was weirdly the very first person I saw Friday night when I walked into the hotel.
Okay.
And Starcast, he was sitting there. Okay. And to be honest... I haven't seen Matt in a long while. And so I just went over and go, hey, man, I don't know if you remember me. He goes, yes, I do. I'm like, all right, we chatted for a few minutes.
Oh, cool.
So I just was surprised that Matt Cross went over. I thought maybe since MJF is the hot property now that he would have went over.
Sure.
So that was a little bit of a surprise.
I think you can have MJF lose and not lose any momentum, where if Matt Cross were to lose, he may lose whatever little bit of momentum he has, just because it may feel like he was expected to lose. So I think by putting him over, it's like, okay, shine a little bit of light on this guy who's extremely talented, but a lot of people probably don't know. Mm-hmm. If you're at that show, you probably already know MJF. Yeah. You know he's good. And like I said, he's really great in the ring, but his mic skills supersede what he does in the ring. So win or lose, he's still going to be the same, you know, he's still going to have that same arrogance and people are still going to hate him. So I think either way, you couldn't go wrong there, really.
So the match that I thought was going to absolutely be awful turned out to be pretty good, actually. Christopher Daniels against Stephen Amell. Who would have thunk this, man?
Yeah, you know, here's a confession I have to make. I was actually on the concourse for the entire match because we really wanted to get some merch. We didn't have opportunity to get it when we come in because we had the problem with the ticket. By the time we walk in the door, music's playing or whatever, show's about to start. So we're hauling ass to get to the seat, right? We're like, let's wait for some period of downtime where we can make a run out here and get this. We really wanted the all-in hoodie. That was kind of the main thing we were after. And a couple other items. We knew they were kind of selling out of stuff. So it was like, hey, if we get our hands on this, great. But here's what we're really after. So we go out there and get in the merch line. And they only had two merch tables in the entire building. And the lines were pretty much all the way down the concourse. And they almost met each other back at the beginning because they wrapped all the way around the side. So we were out there. They had some TV, so we kind of got to watch a little bit of it on TV. But, yeah, we were out there for the entire – I missed the entire thing. So,
I mean, don't get me wrong. It wasn't flawless. There were some things that were a little bit clunky over, but I was impressed that Amel really, really – handled his own. And no doubt Christopher Daniels is a great hand to be in the ring with, man. I mean, you know, definitely if I was booking this show, I would feel comfortable with that setup more so than anybody else in the ring with Amel. I just couldn't believe he did that table spot, man. I mean, this is a dude that's, you know, making a multi-million dollar television series.
Sure.
And he's taking that spot, or he's taking that bump, excuse me. That was crazy. But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, I thought it was actually a pretty good match, and I can't believe I said that, you know? But yeah, Daniel's picking up the win. So we go to the ladies' match. Tessa Blanchard defeating, of course, Chelsea Green, Madison Rayne, and Dr. Britt Baker.
Yeah.
Which was a really good match.
Yeah, it was really good.
I felt maybe at the end, though, I was a little bit unsure because I had like that feeling. I think the ending, I had the feeling that maybe it got botched a little bit because of the way people reacted in the ring. And yeah. I've seen that before and I'm like, uh-oh, did something not go right?
See, and that's kind of how I felt when I saw it, too. I was like, oh, that was a little weird. But I felt like even going into it, I felt like there wasn't anyone else going to win but Tessa. Yeah. So it just was like a matter of time or who was going to eat the pin. But yeah, it did feel a little bit off, but I didn't feel like it was the wrong person won. Maybe that wasn't the time for that yet.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe there was another spot that they were going to work into, and then that just ended. But nonetheless, it was a very good match. Those four ladies did a fantastic job with it. The Chicago Street Fight, I believe, we had the NWA titles match was next, according to the lineup here. But then we have the Chicago Street Fight with Hangman Page defeating Joey Janela. Look, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to get probably a lot of flack for this, but I'm going to say it. I don't see what's up with Joey. I don't get it with Joey Janela. I just don't get it, man. I'm sorry. Like, look, I'll say this. I'll eat my own words. While I'm not a fan of the Bucks, at least I say those two guys are damn good athletes.
Sure.
They do unbelievable shit that no other person could do. So I give them that credit. I don't see that with Joey Janela. I'm sorry. He's just an indie guy. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think he does. I think his unpredictability makes him a draw in that sense. He kind of has this Mr. Independent Wrestling aura to him right now, where he's kind of the main guy fucking everywhere. He's everywhere. I mean, he's coast to coast. He's doing every show that he can get his hands on. I don't know when or if he ever sleeps because he's at everything. And I think he kind of just has that aura, you know, his entrance, his girl. He's kind of just like, okay, here's this crazy motherfucker. What's he going to do next kind of thing?
Because he's done some crazy shit in his career. Absolutely. I mean, you can YouTube some of that stuff.
Sure.
Listeners at home.
That was probably my match of the night from beginning to pinfall. I knew Hangman is extremely I think he's extremely underrated. I mean, he has a fan base, but people don't really know how talented this guy is. He's incredible.
Especially too, since he's got a character now.
Yeah,
I think that's what he was lacking the whole time he was in Ring of Honor in his early days. I was like, he's lacking that thing, and I think he's getting into, he's feeling more comfortable in that role as Hangman Page.
And I loved the stuff with Joey Ryan afterwards.
Yes.
Especially if you're a fan of, if you're a fan of the Being the Elite series on YouTube, then you got an extreme kick out of that. My only small gripe about it is it felt like it, after it was over, more people were talking about that than the actual match that I thought, in my opinion, was the best match of the night. And then it kind of got overshadowed by these walking penises that, you know, kind of just took away from the whole thing. And that was my only complaint. I thought it was hilarious. It played out perfectly. It went back to everything that's been shown from Being the Elite and kind of tied it all together. And, I mean, it was excellent storytelling. If you don't watch Being the Elite, you might have been like, hey, what the hell's going on here? But, I mean, it just tied together so perfectly. It is geniuses, really.
And you know what? Real quick, too, I do want to point out that I felt like the video packages that they showed on the big screen, which I know they showed in the pay-per-view and the stream, too, I think they did a great job with that, too, of filling you in.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of
the things
absolutely.
That maybe you needed to know for those matches. So I want to give props to the production team because they did a very good job with that. Jay Lethal defeated Flip Gordon, which I thought was a pretty good match, except for I was concerned and confused, I should say, not concerned, confused. What the hell is Brandi Rhodes doing out at ringside?
Like, there's a thing, like, there's kind of a thing that they were running up and leading up to All In, where Brandi was coming out with Flip, trying to help Flip get booked, because she wanted him to be in All In, but... like Cody was against it, so they kept giving him these opportunities at these independent wrestling shows to try to win and then get into All In.
Okay.
But he kept losing. Okay. And she was just following him kind of on that tour a little bit. And it kind of goes back to some Being the Elite stuff where she's kind of
the softy for him.
Yeah, she wants him in. Yeah, kind of thing. So that played into that.
Well, but here's my question, and I guess this is what bothered me about it. She just took the elbow from the top rope just three matches prior. I'm like, what the hell? Like, you're not physically built like one of the guys. So if, you know, a 240-pound guy drops an elbow from the top rope, I don't really think two matches later you should be out there at ringside.
I agree.
That was my only gripe. Otherwise, this match was fantastic as well.
It's really good.
And we would forget or be remiss to mention Lanny Poffo at ringside. They did the whole Black Machismo shtick. The stuff with Brandi being Miss Elizabeth, so to speak. That was funny and that was great. Yeah. That was really good. I enjoyed that. Overall, just a really good match.
Yeah, Jay Lethal was somebody who I used to not give that much credit to. I just wasn't really a fan of him. I didn't feel like I always thought he wrestled good. I just didn't think he had a character that I really cared about. Like, he was just another guy. But after his world title win, I've kind of paid attention to him a little bit more. And he's always been great in the ring, but, you know, see him get more character, you know, get more character development has kind of been a sticking point for me. Speaking of Jay Lethal, though, if you ever go back and watch, I never saw it live because I never watched TNA, but the YouTube Jay Lethal doing the Ric Flair impersonation.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, it's money. It's so good. Funny. I can watch it a million times and I'll laugh every single time. So good.
All right. I think this match, the next match, I should say, is the one that has the two big surprises to it. Kenny Omega defeats, I'm calling him Pentagon.
Sure.
What is it? Penta.
L-Zero.
L-Zero. M. All right. I'm calling him Pentagon.
Sure.
First of all, the big surprise I have, because I am very clueless when it comes to Pentagon.
Okay.
I have not watched, again, I've said it many times, I don't have the ability to watch Impact.
Sure.
I don't get the channel. So I haven't seen his work there. Man, is that dude over.
Yeah.
Like, I could not believe how over he was when he came out and did the whole, I'll probably butcher it, the Cesaro Madero thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and you have 10,000 people doing it. I'm like, what the fuck is this? This, like, it was impressive.
Yeah, and he's another one of those guys that's just fucking everywhere. I mean, he's everywhere. He's on Impact. He's doing stuff with PCW. I saw him live down at IWA Mid-South. Probably like 2 months ago. He's doing, you know, a lot of stuff on the East Coast. Yeah, he's just everywhere, and I think that's why he's getting so much exposure, is because he's just literally at every show that you can think of. Yeah. And anyone that will bring him in, he'll come in and wrestle. So that really plays into it.
So I thought the match was good. I think my only gripe with it is you got to protect that package pile driver.
Sure.
I mean, he on the apron, that should be it, man. That's it. You're done, man. You're done. There's no way anybody kicks out of that, man.
Right.
And I think they should have done that. But, I mean, overall, I thought it was a solid match. And then we get the big surprise.
Sure.
The lights go out, lights come back on, and Pentagon is really not Pentagon.
Right.
As is Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho, yeah. That, I didn't see that one coming at all. And, in fact, when the lights came up, we kind of all knew that it wasn't the same Pentagon that was standing there before, but well, who the hell is it? Because there was multiple options I felt like they could have went with there. I think probably 99% of the crowd probably thought it was CM Punk, because everyone had been waiting for some kind of CM Punk involvement all weekend. You know, he was at Pro Wrestling Tees on Friday. People are like, oh, it's in Chicago, it's wrestling, he's got to be here, got to be involved in some way. The Bucks and Cody had been teasing it all along, you know, oh, is he all in, is he not, blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of who I thought it might have been at first. And then I really thought that it was Sami Callihan, because he's been doing similar stuff like that, you know, showing up and taking people out. He was in the area. And that was kind of the way I thought. And I saw the tattoos at first. So I'm like, you know, that's who it could be. Because he's been threatening to go to the Jericho Cruise and take people out.
Okay.
He has a match scheduled there against Marty. So he's kind of been talking a lot of stuff about, you know, if you don't bring me to the cruise, I'm going to come there and take it over and all this stuff. So I thought maybe, you know, this guy, he's one of the biggest things going in independent wrestling right now. For him to show up and, you know, throw the gauntlet down with Kenny Omega, that puts you in a whole new level. Mm-hmm. That's a whole new bracket. But yeah, it turned out to be Chris Jericho, who I didn't assume would even be involved, just because he's gone on record many times saying, I won't do anything on U.S. soil that's not WWE property.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because of that loyalty that he has with Vince, and I think that...
But this is smart, though, and just to interrupt, this is smart if you want people to pay attention to that cruise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's what it's all setting up, and that is brilliant, a brilliant business decision.
But here's the one, I guess, kind of where I'm confused where they're going to go with that. Is because they've already announced, they did a little thing, it was a little video, I think it was on Being the Elite, where Jericho sent Alpha Club t-shirts to the Bucks, and they're supposed to do like a six-man tag thing on the cruise with Jericho, and they have a nickname, I think, for their team. So they had done this video thing, and they made a t-shirt and all this other stuff. So now I'm like, well, where are you going to go now with this? Because it seemed like you were setting up some kind of six-man tag, but now is it going to be Jericho Omega 2? I don't know where they're going with this. And who are we even going to be able to see it? I don't.
And here's my question. I want to know what's the schedule, because to me, Will, I was thinking, well, that would be one match out of – because, I mean, the cruise is what?
Yeah, how it's many a couple days? Weeks. It's a couple days long.
So there's going to probably be – I was thinking there would be multiple wrestling shows. So Kenny, sure. Omega, and Jericho
maybe
on
Friday.
On Friday and something like that, because,
sure,
you know, we don't – I don't think they've released that information as to what
– Yeah, no, I've not seen anything.
What things are going. So, bottom line, it was a smart move. And,
sure,
you know, I don't think anybody saw it coming. As a matter of fact, I thought – I swear to God, when we were in line for something, somebody was mentioning Jericho – and one of the other people that were in line was saying, no, because Fozzy's somewhere.
He's in Kansas City.
Or something. Yeah, I swear.
So I don't remember who told us this story, because we went to several after parties that night. Someone told us this story about Pentagon had only brought one gold costume with him, because he... I guess this is a story that was told to me. So okay.
We'll take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
The story told to me was that Pentagon had no idea that was happening with Jericho.
Okay.
So he only brought one gold costume.
Okay.
But he had a backup silver costume because he had wrestled AAW, I think, on Thursday night. I can't remember if he was there Friday. But someone ran to a hardware store and got gold spray paint and spray painted the silver costume during the actual pay-per-view. They were in the back spray painting this gold.
Okay.
So Jericho gets the costume, comes out, does the thing, then runs to the back and then hops on a private jet, still in the makeup, to fly to Kansas City to perform the Fozzy concert that same night. He was literally like washing the makeup off his face in the private jet on the way back. So he filmed it and posted it on Instagram that's where he was headed. So yeah, that's quite the whirlwind experience for him.
if that is all true, that is very.
And he was just here yesterday, I believe. Sunday.
I'm sorry, I never got into Fozzy.
Well, no, so, me neither. It's not for me. Yeah, but
I mean.
Yeah.
What I felt was the match of the night, Okada versus Marty Scurll. I thought that match, honestly, was fantastic. I felt like they had built it up so well. You're not a heavyweight.
Sure.
You know, and that whole 205 shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And the match was fantastic, too.
Yeah, and the best part for me, and shout out to them for this, was putting together the full Okada entrance.
Oh,
you know, with
yeah.
the falling dollars and the whole thing, the Okada bucks. And I know a couple people that were lucky enough to get their hands on some of those. So that was cool to do just the entire thing.
Cause
I wasn't sure if we would get that grand entrance, but yeah, that was really cool. And then, the match was insane.
Yeah, very much so. So overall it was fantastic. I felt like, after they went off the air and they did the little speech at the end, I felt that could have maybe, you know, I know that they wanted to tell everybody how much they were thankful, but they could have wrapped that up a little bit. Because I was like, hey, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up.
I mean, you don't have to thank me that many times. I'm already here. You know?
I'm already here, man. You got my money. It's all good.
I knew what I was getting into. You delivered better than I expected. You know, we can all go home now. But they wanted to show their appreciation for everyone involved and that they were successful and, you know, pulling off what people probably thought they couldn't. But
so do they do a second one?
I mean, I can't imagine you don't. The only thing that I'm concerned about is you can't wait too long to do another one. Like, I don't know that you do another one. You wait a whole year to do a second one. Because to me, you want to strike while it's hot.
Yeah. I think this is something that I was thinking about is it's a double-edged sword. You do too quickly, then people are like, then it ruins the special.
Absolutely.
But yet, if you do wait too long, then you end up losing the momentum, possibly. Sure. I don't know.
The difficult part about doing it too soon is you're also up against a bunch of other big events coming up later in the year.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you don't want to fall into that January, February time frame just because it's probably harder to pull off. But then, you know, WrestleMania and the G1 at Madison Square Garden is right around the corner, so it's like you don't want to get into that territory. You know, that's 6 months down the road from now, so you know, maybe you do have to wait a whole year or, you know, sometime in the middle of summer next year. Because I guess someone was saying that the only advice that Vince had given Cody was you shouldn't have done it in September because it's a terrible time to do it. Yeah, terrible time to do a big show. And I kind of thought that too because I was like, you know, people are getting ready to go back to school. It's Labor Day weekend, which kind of unofficially signifies the end of summer. It's the first weekend of college football. You know, a lot of people will be going to that. But I mean, you couldn't have fit any more people in there, so I don't know where they went wrong.
No, I don't either. I read that too, and I thought that kind of was silly, but I thought it was a perfect weekend because of all of those things. It is. You've announced it way in advance.
Sure.
You can make plans. It could become an event, man. It's Labor Day weekend in Chicago.
Yeah. You know? See, and so, that was my wife's argument. You know, she said it the opposite way of me, where I was like, maybe it is a bad time, and she's like, no, it's perfect time. Look at, you know, these are all the reasons, and I'm like, okay, I mean, I can see it both ways.
So let's talk about a couple of things that you did, and I'll talk about a couple of things that I did, because I know you went to the AAW show on Friday. Did you go Thursday too, or
not? No, only Friday.
Only Friday. Yeah. So how was that?
Oh, it was amazing. That was the first time I got to see AAW live. I watched their stuff streaming or whatever all the time. So I always wanted to go. I always wanted to check out Logan Square. The little venue that they have there is really awesome. Really cool venue. Some really awkward stuff went down there with Sammy Callahan and some of the Dayton guys that just kind of struck me as odd. But other than that, I mean, the show was amazing. A lot of my favorite guys were on the show. A couple of guys did, you know, meet and greet stuff during intermission, like up on the actual ring, you know, they throw their t-shirts up on the ropes. They sit on the apron. You can go up, mingle with them. But I was in so much pain on Friday after driving 6 hours. We walked around the city for probably somewhere between 5 and 7 miles. So after that, I was smoked. I was in so much pain, and we had standing room only tickets. So not only am I in excruciating pain, I have to stand for almost this entire show.
Salt in the wound.
Yeah. So luckily we met some friends that we knew off of Twitter. We were able to secure some seats, and we did a little rearranging and some seats that were open. But I was in this weird place with my pain where sitting down actually made it worse. So not only am I dying, but my feet and legs hurt, but the only way for me to not feel the pain from the appendectomy was to stand. So, you know, there I was. Other than that, man, the show went off really well. The venue was cool. Getting in and out of there was relatively easy. We met up with some other friends that we knew after the show was over and hung out in the parking lot, talked for a little bit. So, all in all, it's a really good show.
Now, did you go to any shows Sunday? Because I know there was a big show.
No, you did not. I really wanted to go. Warrior Wrestling was...
Yes, Warrior Wrestling. Yeah, yes,
they were throwing a show on Sunday night that was absolutely loaded. I mean, they took most of the people that were either in AEW on Friday night, some of the people from All In, and pulled together, you know, tried to get some of that crowd that, hey, you don't have to leave yet. You know, we got one more for you.
Yeah. So, did you get to go to StarCast any?
I went to the StarCast official after party on Saturday after the event was over. Took us fucking forever to get out of the parking lot. I don't know what was going on or if other people had better success, but we were in the parking lot for a long ass time trying to get out of there. So we finally left there, went back to the hotel, dropped our stuff, and then we went to the StarCast after party, which it was great. We had some friends that had bought the VIP tickets to the after party, and we kind of snuck in with them and got comped some wristbands to go to the VIP side of things. If you were in the regular side, the non-VIP side of the after party, I probably would have been asking somebody for a refund, because it was, not only was it roped off from the VIP portion where everyone was having a great time and you could only just stare across the barricade at all these people having a great time.
Okay.
All the wrestlers were over there, uh-huh, so on and so forth. Uh-huh. So yeah, had I been on the other side of that, I probably wouldn't have been too happy. But yeah, the after party was pretty okay. They had the band there that plays Cody's theme song, Down Straight. They performed a couple songs there. They also do, like, they do the Miz's entry, or entrance song, and a couple others, so they performed a bunch of other WWE hits that they had or whatever. So it was a cool vibe. There was a lot of, I mean, all the wrestlers you could think of were walking around in the VIP area. So, you know, anyone you wanted to talk to was out there for you.
And that's the theme, I think, of StarCast, because I went to StarCast. I got in after a few issues transportation-wise. I got in Friday night and ended up getting a bite to eat. And then my friend Justin and I went over and hung out for a little bit, and ran into, actually, friend of the podcast. I'm going to give him a quick shout-out. Dom Riggio from Mess Bucket Comics was there, and so we kind of hung out with him there, and, in fact, got a chance to hang out with Don West.
That's cool.
He stopped by our table for about 5 minutes to chit-chat with us, so that was pretty cool.
Nice.
StarCast, I just thought it was a unique environment, because just as you said, there were just wrestlers walking around in that hotel going wherever, minding their own business, doing their own thing, whether they were going to go do panels or they were just hanging out. But the funny part was that I noticed that there was a lot of just random wrestling stars there.
Sure.
As if, like, hey, Cody in the Bucks said, hey, if you're in town,
right,
come on over, set up a table and sell your merch. Joel Gertner was there. I'm like, what the hell is he doing here? He was not advertised. Yeah. Teddy Long and Ron Simmons. I'm like, sure. I didn't see any advertisements for you guys being here. Like, it just seemed very, very random that just anyone could just stop by and just throw up a table, throw t-shirts on the table and sell them.
Yeah, it definitely had that vibe.
Could you imagine like going to Wizard World and like just random people showed up like, hey, I'm Johnny Depp, I'm here.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Here, give me a table. You know, wait, you weren't advertising. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's,
yeah, absolutely.
To me, that's what I couldn't wrap my mind around, you know?
And most of the time, you know, getting those guests in there, especially in the comic book convention world, is so expensive that you have to charge everyone an arm and a leg just to cover those fees.
Right.
But this was like, well, if you just want to come, just come and be there. And
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay.
We'll just come
hang
out.
Man, you know?
Yeah. When I walked into the after party, I bumped shoulders with my all time favorite wrestler, Scott Hall, and he was coming in. I was going in. He was coming out. We bumped shoulders and I was like, oh, sorry, man. He's like, oh, no worries. And you know, he went his way. I went mine, but it wasn't really the ideal scenario to be like, oh, you know, you're my all-time favorite wrestler or whatever. But it was just weird. It's like, oh, I'm in the after party and there goes Scott Hall. Where the hell am I?
I down in the merchandise area, I enjoyed that WrestleCrap was there with Katie Vick and the Coffin.
Okay.
If you missed that, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I did not see that. I saw some pictures.
It. Yeah, okay. They purchased it and it was there. And I'm like, oh, my God, seriously? This is awesome. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. Justin and I had a pretty funny exchange with Teddy Long that I don't want to kind of brag about it, but it was really, I gotta be honest, I was on my A game. You know, being East Coast boys, we're on a different time, you know? And
sure.
So, say 11 o'clock Chicago time, we decided to have a few drinks in the bar.
Okay.
Justin decided to take one of his screwdrivers with him, and as we were going through the merch area there, we walked past the table. Ron Simmons and Teddy Long, and there was nobody there, and Teddy yells at Justin, hey playa, what you drinking? And Justin goes, a screwdriver, which Teddy looks at his watch and goes, a little bit early, isn't it? And I just responded with, it's okay, it's all good, we're from the East Coast, it's noon. And he goes, ha ha, go on, play on, playas. And I was like, see, I'm very proud of myself, I was very witty to come back with
that's
that
pretty
man.
Good. That's
so
pretty
yeah
good.
that was pretty good. So that was but you know, I also enjoyed, actually, just as a side note, I enjoyed talking to a lot of podcasters that were there.
Sure.
Specifically, Neil Pruitt, who does the podcast of Secrets of WCW. He was incredibly nice to talk to, and I always enjoy, as I mentioned before in other episodes, I enjoy talking with other podcasters to get tips and tricks. You know,
sure.
What do you do that I don't do? What could I do better that I can learn from you and vice versa? I talked to him. I talked to a bunch of other podcasters, independent guys there. So for me, that was a lot of fun. I only went to one panel. I went to the Death of WCW panel.
Okay.
It was with R.D. Reynolds, Kevin Sullivan, Eric Bischoff. And who else was there? Oh, Dave Penzer. And
okay.
So that was pretty interesting. I had learned some things that I didn't know about. But yeah, man, I got to say, my only other complaint, as you mentioned, was getting out of the Sears Center was goddamn nightmare is what it was.
Yeah.
We ended up, Justin and I ended up going and eat at one of those,
there was a couple restaurants really close by.
And we went and ate there at that restaurant. And then we still were waiting forever. And the thing that makes me mad, and I know this is, you know, it's no one to blame except for Uber.
Sure.
Is that no one could get a Lyft, but we could get Ubers.
Yeah.
And the price was like three times the price it was to come over from Schaumburg up to Hoffman Estates.
Yeah. We experienced this a lot. WrestleMania weekend down
really?
In New Orleans, where
okay.
the minute a show went off or ended, the rates for every Lyft, Uber, whatever you could get your hands on just went through the absolute roof. And that's because, I mean, to be fair, down in New Orleans, everything was kind of spread out. You know, things were down in the city. Some things were a little bit out in the suburbs. So there was some travel time in between there. But seeing that that was going to be gross like that, I mean, we had a car there, obviously, but we ended up taking three friends with us just because of how expensive it was for them to get out of there. So we ended up cramming like six people into my small ass car for us to get out of there just to avoid, you know, watching someone pay $150 to get
Dude.
Back to the damn hotel.
No, it was ridiculous. And I know, like, you know, Justin included me in, man, you know, if we were, say, downtown Columbus, we could walk out of the surge. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Like yeah,
you
yeah, absolutely.
But there was nowhere to walk.
No, no,
the
yeah.
You had the interstate. Yep. You had that little shopping plaza with a couple of restaurants, the Sears Center, and a giant vacant field. Yes. Where the hell were you going to go?
Yeah.
So we yeah, couldn't walk anywhere, man.
Even on the way getting out there, we were driving out from our hotel because we had switched hotels. Long story short, we wanted to go to AAW on Friday, so we booked a hotel that was closer to the city. That way, if we wanted to drink after AAW or whatever, we just go back to the hotel. It's right there in the city. Knowing what I know about Chicago, I knew Hoffman Estates was way out there. So Saturday morning, we woke up, transferred hotels, went further out that way. But even driving from the hotel out to the Sears Center, we're like, well, let's stop and get a case of beer. That way we can drink in the parking lot before we go in. There wasn't anywhere to stop. The whole time we're driving, I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to stop and get any of this beer. And there was a BP that was kind of down off that one road where we had ended up stopping. But, man, I was like, this place is fucking out here. Like, guys.
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't even know if we have enough time for me and my snafu of getting there Friday. And I'll try to do it quickly. I flew into O'Hare, and then I decided, well, I'm going to take the train to Schaumburg. But the problem was that I found out is you have to take the train. It's not on the same line as the blue line.
You so you had to take the suburb train.
Right. You had to get all the way back downtown, which was like another 40 minutes, and then take the train, which was another 40 minutes, back out. So this guy told me, the worker for the train line said, what you can do is go to Rosemont, get on the bus.
Sure.
And I did that, but the problem with that is that the last bus stop was a couple blocks from the hotel where Justin and I were staying. And while you may think, oh, it's a couple miles, man, shit, I'll walk that. Yeah, you walk that. But then when I got a mile into it and I'm still dragging my goddamn suitcase and I got my carry-on over my bag and it's 86 degrees, I'm sweating my balls off, man, you know?
Yeah.
So I learned the hard way that sometimes the mass transit was not probably the best way to go.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think that was probably like a rude awakening for a lot of people who did travel in, thinking, you know, if you came from California or somewhere on the West Coast or even the Far East Coast and you thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to Chicago this weekend. I think once you got there, you were kind of in for a rude awakening that you weren't really in Chicago. I mean, you were as much in Chicago as, you know, we are in New York City sitting here. You know, it's just, you weren't.
Wait a minute, that's awful. I was thinking you were, you know, it's like, you know, Delaware to downtown Columbus.
Well,
you know,
it's just like you were way out. You know, if you really wanted to go in the city and you wanted to see some shit and you wanted to, you know. You really had to hustle and make things happen. I mean, unless you drove in and then you drove down, you know, that's no big deal. Yeah. But we knew some friends that came in from Austin who had rented a car and they were like, shit, man, it's an hour and 15 minutes to go from down. You know, they were down in the city going to Millennium Park and stuff like that. They went to AAW on Friday as well. They were like, you know, it's 45, 55 minutes for us to get back out of the city and out to the, you know, to where this is at. That's crazy.
Yeah. Maybe let's wrap up real quick. You completed the Labor Day weekend by going to Raw in Columbus.
I did. I went to Monday Night Raw in Columbus.
By the way, thanks for the invite. I know you invited me, but dude, I needed a day to just chillax.
Yeah, it was tough, man, because we drove back Sunday. Matter of fact, we drove home Sunday. We ended up leaving way later than I wanted to. I think we got home around 5 or 6 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. And there was a wrestling show broadcasting live on Twitch that I think was from Austin. We knew a couple people that were at the show. I want to say it was Sabotage. It might have been Inspire Pro, actually. But we came home and watched that on Twitch, sitting around on the couch Sunday night. And then we went to Raw on Monday. And I was just like, man, I'm close to wrestled out. And this is coming from a guy who, when I went to New Orleans for a WrestleMania weekend, we saw 11 shows in 4 days. So to come back, you know, to this, fast forward to this and see, you know, these three shows and, you know, one of them wasn't even live, but just like, I didn't even really want to go to Raw. Even when I called you, I was like, I don't even really want to go to this either, because how can I, you know, I just saw the pinnacle of independent wrestling on Saturday, a great show on Friday, and a really good show, you know, over the air on Sunday night. And I'm like, now I'm going back to WWE product. Like, this doesn't feel very well. But they were able to, you know, make it somewhat memorable, you know, getting the Undertaker showing up unannounced in Columbus, Ohio, of all places. Shawn Michaels was there. The Bella Twins returned. So, they kind of pulled out all the stops, which I was really surprised with, especially being at the Schottenstein Center, which is one of the worst arenas in the entire country that I cannot stand. I just don't like it, period. I hate going down there. I've gone down there way too many times in my life, and I just don't like anything about it. I can't figure out. I mean, other than the fact that the attendance problem seems like they never are able to sell at the Shot, which is why I always think, oh, they should just do this at Nationwide, but they can never sell out the Shot, so they're definitely not going to sell out Nationwide. So I think that's why they continue to go there. But, oh, man, I hate that venue. But yeah, other than that, yeah, Monday Night Raw was cool, and you know, they were building towards
Hell in a Cell
at the time. They were also building towards the Sydney Super Showdown,
and
kind of sort of building towards the Evolution pay per view. So they're like kind of billing all three shows at the same time, which kind of made it a muddled mess on Mondays. Like, I don't know what we're really working towards here, and then whatever they were working towards at Hell in a Cell, they pretty much fucked all that up yesterday. So that's for a whole other podcast.
Yeah, that is. I have some opinions on how that turned out pretty awful, especially in the tail end of it. I thought the first part of it wasn't too bad, but then
there were matches on that I thought were really great.
Yes,
and then it started taking a nosedive, and it crashed and burned hard at the end. So that was
like Ultimate Warrior. He ripped the door off the cockpit and drove the plane right into the ground, Hulk Hogan.
that got bad.
All right. Well, why don't you let the folks know at home where they can get in touch with you on the interwebs?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at TheWeaponX. That's W34PONX. You can also find me, more importantly, on twitch.tv/WeaponX, W34PONX. That's where I am almost every day from 6:30 to 10:30. Not super consistent, but trying to get better with that.
All right, man. Cool. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, absolutely. And, appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, man. For sure. Sharing your experiences with All In. And AAW.
Yeah, for sure.
AAW and All In. Hell, your smorgasbord of pro wrestling. Absolutely. How about that?
Yeah, so. And hopefully we get the opportunity to do it again in the future.
Cool. All right, I'm going to throw this quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Will and I talking about our experiences at All In. I hope you enjoyed our insights and our opinions on that entire weekend of great wrestling action. But if you have a question, or if you think that maybe yours truly said something wrong, you want to point something out to me, there's a couple different ways you can do that. First of all, you can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @pvdmvp. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page. That, of course, is facebook.com/pvdcast. And don't forget that the PVDcast is available a variety of different places, including pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, as well as through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network, Libsyn Podcast Player. Just wherever you can find podcasts, all you got to do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to add my name onto it, PVDcast John Orlando, but I guarantee that you will find it wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. So, but if I may, I will say this. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show so you don't have to worry about missing an episode, and you could tell everybody how much you like a particular episode of this podcast. You'll be doing me a favor. I appreciate it. And don't forget as well, if you're interested in learning how to podcast, or if you're just curious about what it takes, how much time and energy it takes to produce a podcast, well, then check out Canned Air Podcast number 258, myself, Jeremy Colley. We talk about our experiences becoming up and coming podcasters here at the level that we are currently at. And it's a great listen. You definitely want to check it out. But with that, I think I'm going to close up shop, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you for listening. I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent.